Thank you, Fiona and Andrew, for leading us this morning. I wonder what's your goals for 2025? Many people do attempt to make New Year's resolutions. And whether you've made any this year or not, I wonder, what are your goals for life, in life? Are they of a more practical nature or are they spiritual? I encourage you to make and hold to some beneficial spiritual resolutions. Even so, we don't know what 2025 will bring, what 2025 will hold for us, and most of us struggle with change. But can you imagine life without change? Imagine going to the supermarket and there was never any variation or new products to try. Some of you think that's a good thing. Imagine going to work and you did the same thing day in, day out. Imagine a medical system where there was never any advances in treatment. Imagine your life where there was little to no change. Then the result would also be little to no hope that things could ever get better. Change is often the chance through which our goals can be fulfilled. So although we might struggle with change, we are also much better for it. Some people, however, wish that they didn't have to cope with change. John Eldridge begins his book. He's written a number of books, this book called The Journey of Desire. And then the subheading is Searching for the Life That We've Only Ever Dreamed Of. He begins his book with a parable about a sea lion. Once upon a time, there lived a sea lion who had lost the sea. He lived in a country known as the Barren Lands, high on a plateau far away from any coast. It was a place so dry and dusty it could only be called a desert. There was a kind of a grass that grew in patches here and there, and a few trees were scattered across the horizon. But mostly it was dust, and wind, sometimes wind, which together with the dust made one very, very thirsty. Of course, it might seem strange to us that such a beautiful creature would wind up in a desert at all. He was, mind you, a sea lion. But things like this do happen. How the sea lion came to the barren land, no one could remember. It all seemed so very long ago. So long, in fact, it appeared as though he'd always been there. Not that he belonged in such an arid place. How could that be? After all, he was a sea lion. But as you know, once you've lived so long in a certain spot, no matter how old, you come to think of it as home. Some folk don't want change because they've become too accustomed to their present circumstances. Others, on the other hand, long for change because they're very aware that their circumstances are anything but good. And so we come to our reading today from Isaiah. The year is around 700 years before Christ. And God's people are not doing so well. Things are pretty tough for the nation. A large part of Judah and all of the northern kingdom of Israel were in exile in various parts of the Assyrian Empire. Most of the Hebrew people had been carted off and were living in various parts of the Assyrian Empire in this foreign land. Why? Because most of the Hebrew people had become too used to their present circumstances of living life without God. They'd turned their backs on him. They'd bowed down to worship other foreign and false gods, now known as the barren land. Subsequently, God removed his protection and allowed their enemies to come in and conquer them. And Assyria did just that. Others, like Isaiah, long for change because they are very aware that their circumstances were anything but good and that the people had not been worshipping God. As a prophet to the nation, being led by the Spirit of God, Isaiah is calling the people back to worship God. And so he says in Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses. Remember the Egyptian army. The army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. For see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, when Moses gave the law to the Hebrew people back at the foot of the Mount Sinai, he called on them to remember the wondrous deeds of the Lord. He said, remember. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Moses called on the people to remember the incredible deeds of the Lord so that they might follow the Lord more intently. Fast forward almost 700 years, and Isaiah now says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It's good to remember the goodness of God, but it's not good to get stuck in the past. To remain in a state of remembrance hampers our ability to be relevant and effective in the present. It renders us less able to see what God is doing now and to work with him in what he's doing now. But to take time to remember God's goodness to us in the past should lead us to a heart of gratitude, praise and worship and a further reliance upon his goodness. It should lead us into prayer. As Faye taught us last week, Jesus taught his disciples to pray with this in mind, that we honour God, seek that his kingdom come, and that we might do his will. And that we ask the Lord to provide for all of our needs, to forgive us of our sins, and to help us to be victorious over temptation. That's the Lord's Prayer in a nutshell. So let us remember the former blessings of the Lord, but let us not dwell in the past, but rather look to the Lord to see what he's doing and to walk with him today. Let us trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Let us not lean on our own understanding, but rather may we submit to him, and he will make our paths straight. God is always doing a new thing. Just as our world is in a constant state of flux and ever-changing, so the Lord does not stop working to transform us. Behold, he is doing a new thing. Just as the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies, they are new every morning. Through faith in Jesus Christ, in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, then we too walk in the newness of life, as Paul described it. Newness of life. We are a new creation, and we're being transformed into his likeness day by day. At least that's God's desire, that we would be transformed day by day. And Paul summed it up this way in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are, you are, God's handiwork, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Too often, though, I think we walk as the Hebrew people of old walked, with little respect and reverence for the Lord. We give little time to the Lord in prayer, honouring him, living according to his will, and we fall into temptation. We forget the former blessings of the Lord and we fail to be alert to the new things that God is seeking to do. And I wonder why. Why we would not want to seek the Lord and his ways as he always speaks words of life. Why would we not want to seek the Lord and his ways every day? He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So does your life seem like a spiritual wilderness at the moment? Are you looking back with rose-coloured glasses and yearning for what used to be? Whilst forgetting to seek the Lord and appreciate his presence with you right now. His presence with you right now. He's always making a way in the wilderness, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he cannot but make streams in the wasteland. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I encourage you to be very present with the Lord and he'll open your eyes to the life that he brings. So we return to the words of Philippians 3 that we looked at back in November last year. Paul wrote about his desire to keep looking forward and to moving toward achieving the goals that were set before him by the Lord. And he's mentioned those in Ephesians 2. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So to the believers now in Philippi, he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. As many as are mature in the faith, let us have that mind, this same mind. For Paul, the gospel of Christ compelled him into the activities that lay before him. He wasn't looking back at the past glories. He mentions those things that God had done for him, but he doesn't dwell on those things. He mentions them to let the people know, to let us know, the goodness of God and God's protection and provision is ever faithful. But he doesn't dwell on those things. He's not looking back at the past glories, but rather, what more could he do to promote the gospel? Looking forward. What more could he do to introduce others into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? He took very, very seriously the last command of Jesus as his greatest priority. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. All things that I've commanded you. For lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. What are your spiritual goals for 2025 and beyond? To grow closer to God, to Christ? To observe all things that he has commanded? And he is commanded to love one another, to pursue unity. He's commanded us to pray, to proclaim the gospel, to do the good works that he has set before us, to allow him to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. Maybe these are the goals that we need for 2025 and beyond. You might feel a bit like a sea lion who has lost the sea at the moment. Like the Hebrew people of Isaiah's day. Have you let other pursuits become your God or your focus, leaving God out of your daily life? The only way back home, and home is where the heart is, home is with the Lord, the only way back home is to accept God's forgiveness, mercy and grace. Back home with God, you'll no longer feel like you're in the wasteland. God is always making a way in the wilderness for us to find him and his blessings. And he desires that we share these blessings with others. We need not fear as we seek to share the blessings that we've experienced with God with others, because he is with us. He is with us to the very end of the age. So in 2025, can we press on to the goal? For the prize awaits in one upward call in Christ Jesus. Can we press on? Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always making a way in the wilderness. You are providing a way in the wasteland, streams in the wasteland. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That we have experienced you in our lives. Thank you for your goodness, your provision, your protection. But help us, Father, to be walking with you daily. That we would be doing the good works that you have set before us, but that we would be open to you transforming us to be more and more like Jesus each and every day. And so we commit ourselves to you in this year that lays ahead, whatever lays ahead for us. Father, may we seek to give you all the glory, for you alone deserve it. And so we praise you. Walk with us and use us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.